If you come up Telegraph out of Detroit, you go by where I grew up. If you come up M53 or Van Dyke, you go through Emily City, and you go by the Emily City Muck on the east side of the road. And I was out there in the 70s, and partially because of my history, I sold some of those guys' farm equipment, and then I left the farm equipment business and farmed and did some other jobs. But when I started the organic thing, I started doing soil testing because we needed to show soil improvement, and some sort of tests were required. And then we started sharing that with the group, but I ended up back on the muck soil testing for some of those farmers. What I learned in that process is they had this nematode problem, and they were using fumigants to kill the nematodes, but in the process, they killed all the biology, consequently taking more fertilizer and taking more nitrogen. And the soil got harder, and muck isn't characteristically hard. It's characteristically soft and spongy. But it changed. Then they went to fumistats. And some guys are saying, well, we're just using a fumistat. We're not using a fumigant. Well, meaning they're only killing some for a shorter period of time. It's a step, but it's still going in the wrong direction if we understand that the dynamics of biological populations. So it's a little bit of calculus and understanding that when you decrease those numbers, the bad numbers always go up, but when you increase the numbers, what we call bad numbers or disease and all that always goes down. And so we shouldn't focus on killing a section of the group. In the short term, we might have to a little bit. A farmer needs to get a crop, but they got to understand that they need to bring those biological populations up. And some of the vegetable guys have got onto that because they had quite an extreme, even by the time they were coming out of the 70s.
By extreme, I'm hearing that they'd done things or applied products that damaged their soil biology. Do producers of other crops like fruit maybe see similar problems?
Now, I didn't work with fruit early on. I worked with it in the later years. Fruit growers may use $600 an acre worth of pesticides, where a crop farmer may only use 60 back then. Now with inflation, it might be 120. But the degrading in the crop soil on the crop farms has been slower than what happened in the fruit. Because I work with fruit growers pretty intensively, I've been able to see some things happen with fruit and see it full cycle before it happened in farm soils. So it puts me ahead working with the farm soils. They're coming at this later with some of the same problems. Cherry leaf spot is a disease that hits the cherries bad. Sugar beet leaf spot hits sugar beets, but it came later. But it's the same family of disease, and it's caused by the same process. Corn has been getting a fungal disease recently. So now the airplanes are coming in to spray the corn. And what I'm saying, the cherry growers would tell you that we did that for 25 years and it doesn't work. The problem gets worse. But the corn growers don't have any concept of that at all. But it still comes back to the lack of biology in the soil. And once you put the fungicide on to kill the fungal in the plant, most of that goes to the soil and you got less biology and you got more of a problem next year. And so it's a heck of a good equation. And I'm sure I've mentioned this. If you're selling the product, that's a pretty good deal. If you're buying the product, it's a pretty bad deal.
You mean the fungicide product?
The dynamics of that, It makes it so you have to apply more.
Yeah.
But that's a short-term equation. Eventually, the microbes win and their population dramatically increases on the bad side.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And that equation, it's a tough one to grasp. I mean, organic farmers don't beat the biology down. They culture and work with the biology. You don't have to do all the tests. You just got to let them grow. And they've seen the results.
So you mentioned about the muck soils near Imlay City. Now, this is a question that I think we could go a little deeper on because it's going to affect how the soil responds to water, which gets to an area that I know you're passionate about, the health of our lakes and rivers. So nitrogen management can affect soils both chemically and biologically. That means that it'll affect soil structure. What is the dynamic in the compaction or the hardening of the soils that you described from the Imlay City example? Because that's more general than just the muck soils. That happens in other soils too, right?
Yeah. So again, I'm going to go back to my early organic farming. And early on, we figured out that for organic farming to work well, initially, you got to have about 3% organic matter at least. If you're under 3%, there'll be some challenges, and you can get through it if you make up for it. But you have to address that low organic matter, and a lot of people don't. In the Thumb area, there's soils that were naturally 4 and 5% organic matter, but a lot of it had gotten down to 3%. So we could still make that function. In this region, from Battle Creek towards Chicago, the organic matter was lower, and then they decreased it. So they've got a lot of organic matters down to 1.5%. Consequently, you don't find a lot of organic farmers there. Then I was going back to these friends and customers that I had on the Emily City Muck. That soil was 60% organic matter. And I was having a hard time. Why do these guys have all these problems? It's like, but I had to do a lot of talking with them. And then there was that question. And there was the question of what happens with this anaerobic liquid manure. And I took both of those questions to Dr. Reams early on. And he got through to me fairly quickly in respect to what happens when that muck starts to turn compact and starts to plow out in chunks, which it had, and they can run bigger tractors on it now where they never could back in the 50s. It's switching to anaerobic, and anaerobic, there's biology there. It just tends to be the wrong biology. It still produces nitrogen, but it's not controllable. On the muck, you'll start out in the spring, you won't have hardly any nitrogen. And so you put some on, but mid-season, that muck, because there's 60% organic matter, and even though it's compact, will still release 150 pounds of nitrogen by itself. It just releases it at the wrong time. Where if it's mellow and working, that aerobic system builds it in such a way there's more of a continual release that peaks mid-season when that plant is in its maximum growth stage and can soak it up. But it doesn't peak as high as it does is when it's compact, when you're dealing with 60% organic matter. And while I was figuring that, I was also working with some potato farms up in the Thumb that I knew personally that had irrigation. And I think I've talked about the dead spots showing up. And these were dead spots that would start out as big as a desk. Then they'd get as big as a house. And then they'd get maybe an acre. And then they'd maybe get to 5 acres. But I saw that happen on regular loam ground in the Lapeer area that was only 3 or 4% organic matter, maybe on cash crop farm. I saw it happen on Emily City Muck that was 60% organic matter. And I saw it happen on the potato farms in Silverwood that were 1.5% organic matter, that they had these dead spots showing up. And that was a challenge. And it took a while to get through that process. We could do some liming, adding calcium and get a little spurt. But if they didn't change what they were doing, that spot would come right back again. What we had to change was the nitrogen and some of the chemical use.
Okay.
Those were forewarning systems. Those were the canary in the mine shaft that was telling those farms that something they're doing overall is starting to show up here. And I don't think they ever really identified it like that, most of them.